That's a bit loud, that shirt.
That shirt's good, though, isn't it?
Why are you wearing a Hawaiian shirt, Ben? On an audio show?
Mate, this shirt is my divorced 49-year-old phase. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm getting there. Yellow Hawaiian shirt, morning beer. And then do you want to know the secret to the ever-living happiness?
Right.
Pocket beer.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Can I just confirm for the listeners, these are alcohol-free beers? This isn't a
relapse,
because the Hawaiian shirt makes it look like a relapse.
No. This is like Jimmy Buffett. The shirt's Jimmy Buffett. The alcohol-free beer is essentially grape juice. You know what I mean? It's fine.
Okay, so we're just in Margaritaville this episode, right?
Yeah! Welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends who talk around their problems.
Around them!
But not about their problems whilst laughing at movies. But given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, before we get what we're doing, how are you doing, buddy? How was this film relevant to your week?
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah?
This film's relevant to my week by seeing some underdogs.
Nice. You love a dog?
I love a dog. They get fucked over by a big bag. Oh, my days.
Big bag. I mean, we've both been fucked over by the bag, Ben. That's why we do have a podcast.
It's
in
the
our
shirt.
30s.
It's the shirt.
It's the shirt. You look at the shirt and you're just like...
I'm like, well, fucking, why is my credit card just in my hand permanently? Do you know what I mean? Just tapping a table like, This film's about underdogs.
Underdogs. Yes.
They get fucked over by a big bad. And then what they do is they don't sit around and get sad about the big bad. They get mad about the big bad. And then they build a bigger bad to fight back against their big bad, making a big good.
Someone may have hit on my rating for the podcast already. But
right.
I'm here for it, man.
And I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I'm ready to stop being big sad, and I'm ready to start being big mad and fight back against the big bad that I feel like has been looming over me for a little while. And the best way to do that is to live my life properly and, you know, treat myself nice. Yeah. Buy yellow Hawaiian shirts, you know what I mean?
And have a morning beer.
And have a morning
beer
in
the back.
Exactly. Secret pocket beer. Also, I don't know if you can tell this. I've recently watched Inside Out 2, so I feel like I'm processing my emotions
a
lot better now.
No,
I ain't gonna say anything, but I mean just clearly from my statement previously, you can see how well I'm processing emotions now. Fucking flying through, mate. Speed running, being a man baby, you know what I mean? How are you, man?
Honestly, Ben, I had a day so good, I genuinely started to worry it was going to end up at the vets.
Okay.
I was like, I've been to my, I like, you know, when you put your dog down, you just give it the best day.
The best day. I'm not going to go into my last dog's last day because it will literally break my soul. Yeah.
You love a dog being under, but I genuinely had a day. I genuinely had a day so good. I was like, am I going to be taken to the vets at the end of this? I'll get into it afterward because we've got to get into what we're doing.
And
we got a lot to cover. We got a lot to cover. So
what are we doing today, buddy?
Look at it this way. We've done about three or so like odd monster pictures I like to call them the elves of our listenership. You know, those dwarf lords got all five MonsterVerse movies.
They did.
The Lords of Men can get fucked if they think they're getting all 900 Toho movies, but you were all deceived, for another franchise was made in the land of America, in the fires of Mount CGI.
Oh, my days.
The Dark Lord Del Toro forged in secret a master movie to surpass all others, and into this movie he poured his stupid, stupid fun shit with robots twatting crabs. One movie to rule them all, Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, buddy. In the word, who said it? I don't know who said it.
I mean, I don't know what you could. You've literally just gone, who said it?
Hold on.
Like,
so
what are we talking about? I've just done Lord of the Rings.
I know you're doing Lord of the Rings. But we've had a listener get in touch and say that this is the best worst film or the worst best film. And I cannot.
Oh, okay.
Who said it?
I know who it is, but I'm not going to tell you till the end of the episode.
Fine. Thanks, mate.
Because we've got too much to get into. This week, we are getting into why this film might be the ultimate kaiju movie for me.
This is the other end of the kaiju movie spectrum.
Why this film came about, especially when it did.
And is this one of the best underdog stories ever told? No, it's not.
Maybe now. Look at it this way. Look at it this way. This came out in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
We normally do budget. And would you be surprised if I said, you've seen this film.
I have.
It's 2013. CGI was expensive.
It was.
Would you be surprised if I said $400 million?
In what? That's the budget. That's what it made.
That's what it made. That's what it made. It only cost $180.
Hold on. Pacific Rim made $411 million.
Yeah, because what I've been trying to make clear to you, Ben, for weeks, especially the week we're recording, is this film's quite important to quite a few people.
That's fucking outrageous.
I know
outrageous.
You saw it like for the first time last week and like, Pacific Rim, who gives a shit? I give a shit, Ben.
Listen, right.
Everyone gives a shit.
I do give a shit.
$411 million give a shit.
I give a shit about this film because you give a shit about this film. If you were like, oh, we're doing Pacific Rim, it's a bag of shit, I'll be like, oh, well, it's a bag of shit then. But because you love it, I'm like, I'm going to give it my fucking all. In fact, mate, I've done research this week. Not a lot.
Oh, wow, okay.
But I've done enough. Oh, wow. All right.
Okay, yeah. Nice, okay. Oh, because this week I've done a bit of research.
Yes. For this fucking stupid...
Well done, buddy.
Robots twatting crabs, man.
Uh-huh. Look.
We're doing this film because Rob said it would make sense with our run of kaiju movies recently.
It would.
Right, fuck me, buddy. You were right. Big...
Thank you.
Hulking kaijus, but it's with a twist. They're manufactured, organic, interdimensional monsters. I've known a few of them.
You date a few of them. my little sister used to mainline this film when she was 10.
Okay.
So this is a big part of our... Like, I do like this film.
Okay.
But you love it because I love it. I love it because my baby sister loves it. And just watching a 10-year-old white knuckle grip the TV stand.
Yeah.
While just screaming, going, aah!
Yeah.
With
sick.
You know, Gypsy Danger. I'm like, okay, I'm in love. Now, I've written a breakdown. Here's the jingle. We're having a
breakdown. Love this jingle.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Thanks for singing it into your phone in WhatsApp. I've written this week's Go, Go, Go with the Green. Oh, by a spoiler warning, obviously, we're
spoilers,
spoiling the film.
It's spoilers. It's also spoiler warning. It's robots versus monsters. That's the entire film. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, in the near future, giant alien monsters called kaiju emerge from an interdimensional portal at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean, attacking coastal cities and causing massive destruction. To combat the kaiju threat, humanity unites to create the Jaegers, enormous robot mechs controlled by two pilots who share a neural link known as the Drift to synchronize their movements and minds.
Yeah, dead simple.
Stupid.
Raleigh Beck. Yeah. But you have to be on board with the stupid to enjoy this movie.
I'm in it, man.
Raleigh Beckett, a skilled pilot of the Jaeger. Gypsy Danger, aka Pikey Jeopardy, loses his brother and co-pilot during a battle with kaiju. Traumatized, Raleigh quits the Jaeger program and retreats from the war, working instead on the massive perimeter wall they're building around the breach.
As kaiju attacks increase in frequency and severity, the Jaeger program faces decommissioning. Ooh. Marshall Stacker Pentecost recruits Raleigh back for a final offensive, pairing him with Mako Mori, a talented but inexperienced pilot with a personal vendetta against the kaiju. Rounding out the team are other mechs, all from box office demographics relevant to this film's desire to make a profit, and two scientists who bicker like off-air podcasters.
The plan is simple. Using science guy knowledge obtained by Charlie Day mind-merging with a dead kaiju, kinky bastard,
kinky.
They're going to smuggle a nuke down the throat of the breach in reality, severing the connection between worlds and cancelling the apocalypse. But oh no, is that pocket beer?
Pocket beer.
The other science guy figures out the numbers, however, and it turns out their already in action plan is doomed to fail.
When the Jaeger's on the brink of defeat, Raleigh and Mako pilot their Jaeger Gypsy Danger down the portal by hugging a kaiju on the way. They succeed in destroying the portal and prevent further kaiju invasions at the small cost of everyone else from all the other mech teams being deader than Dr. Disrespect's credibility. Have you seen all that shit?
Right, so popular Twitch... I've never seen popular Twitch streamer Dr.
I love this man, by the way.
Right, okay. But he's been texting miners.
Dude,
who
right.
he was fully aware were miners. And this then he's the like, thing. Oh, I had some texts with this person and they leaned in an inappropriate direction. But every single partner that he works with,
yes.
the second they see the text, immediately drop him.
What the fuck? But how many times do you expect people to just go, yeah, it's probably fine.
Yeah.
It was nothing illegal doesn't make it okay, man. Fuck.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I just wanted to pop this in, Ben, because where was this spirited defense of Charlie Chaplin, mate?
Right. A, I have no vested... I'm not defending Dr. Disrespect here. I'm just... Yeah, I'm annoyed yeah, at him. I'm pissed off that he keeps doing this weird shit. Stop it. All right. I'm wildly off point here. Do you know how this film was made?
I mean, cameras and CGI?
Cameras and CGI. Also,
yes.
the CGI, buddy. Lots of CGI, but no motion capture suits. There is not a... Oh. There's no ping pong balls on sticks. There's no men in green suits. There's nothing. It's real actors doing real acting, just in a world of imagination on the green suit.
Men in green.
Props are to distract you.
Okay, no mocap suits. Good, 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 good,
which
good.
Which is great. And Del Toro was like, okay, everyone working on the film is into anime, is into Gundam, is into action and adventure and all these big things, right? Big kaiju monster movies and this, that, and the other. And the explicit rule on set was, when we're making this film, we are not making an homage. We're making our own fucking thing. So don't go and watch your favorite movies that you want to look like. Don't go and watch the animes that you want it to be like. We're building it from scratch to mean something on its own.
I see the reverse psychology. We're not making an homage.
Yes. But then,
yeah, man, I'm pretty sure we are. No, but treat it like we're not.
Yeah, don't you dare go and watch Attack on Titan again. Don't you dare go and do that. Godzilla's a thing. Yes, it is. Also, Mechagodzilla's a thing. And no, we're not going to be watching this through the lens of Mechagodzilla. Let's just fucking make something, okay?
Do you know what that strikes me as?
Mm-hmm.
That strikes me as an insecure creative.
Okay.
Okay, guys, we're making this film. No one watched Godzilla. No one watched Godzilla. Right, and then he just goes away and he's just watching Godzilla. He's like, guys, I had a really good idea. What if one of them was a robot? And they're like, oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, yeah, no idea where I got that from.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
someone's like, is that not Mechagodzilla? He's like, so I said no references.
Shut the fuck up.
I said, no, it's my idea.
Shut the fuck up, Larry.
Shut up, Larry.
Just because you've watched Attack on Titan 3 times and I told you explicitly not to, you cock. I know your Netflix password. Fuck you.
It's a great creative strategy in most cases. There is, however, one drawback.
Okay.
In order for a lot of this plot to work for me emotionally,
yeah,
you have to
emotionally.
Believe.
Sorry.
Right. You have to. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to believe the central character's turmoil, which is that his brother has died. And in the opening of the movie, he and his brother, they connect minds so that they are in one consciousness.
Right.
To power this fucking nuclear powered walking battle station of a fucking mech.
Yeah.
They scrap a kaiju, and whilst they are two brains in one consciousness,
yeah.
his brother is literally fucking killed and he feels death.
Yeah.
The death of his brother who he idolizes.
Mm-hmm.
And he barely drags his mecha back to the shore, climbs out of the broken wreckage of the machine that he's in, which is like a fucking metaphor for the broken wreckage of his life now.
Yeah.
And he falls to his knees and he screams the name of his brother, Yancy! And I'm like, nah, bro.
Is that his brother's name?
His brother's called Yancy.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention and much at the beginning of this film. I thought it was silly. So I thought he was yelling Yancy and it was a reference that I'd missed beforehand.
Right, okay. Right,
you know what
okay.
I mean? Like him and his brother had something going on like I'm going to win this game of Yahtzee, brother. And then they get into the mech and then at the end of it, it's like, haha, you're dead. Yahtzee! You know what I mean? I didn't care enough to go back and look at it, but I just assumed that's right. So his name is right. Yancy.
Right.
Brilliant.
Ben, please don't on air with the film recovery and be like, ah, fuck it.
No, it's not, ah, oh, fuck it. It's like, there was a lot of stuff about, so I'm the right hemisphere of this robot's brain and my brother was the left, and a new technique was invented called drifting, and it's like, yes, okay.
Invented by the Japanese in Tokyo.
But I'm not, yeah, right? I'm going to buy into it. I'm going to accept it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to challenge it, because if I think about it too much, I'm going to start pulling it apart and I'm going to get weird about it. And if I can't...
Okay, fair. Yeah, yeah, you can't pull it apart.
This is
what
I'm saying.
You cannot pull this film apart.
You can't. Because the second you do, it unwinds pretty fucking quick, right?
Because they didn't use any references, and someone went, Yancey's probably a name, and they went, we don't know, we can't check.
We don't. There
just
is,
turn the internet off.
Exactly. Del Toro's cancelled the internet. We don't know what's happening. What day is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Does anyone know what the weather is outside?
You basically recreated the movie Saw with a team of 20 writers.
Okay, so yeah. So Yancey's a pretty good one.
But look. I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. I am surprised. Because when I brought Little Shop of Horrors, I was like, Ben loves B-movies.
Yeah,
I do. He loves 50s sci-fi.
I do.
He loves a weird woman that looks like an alien.
Yeah.
And he loves gardening. He'll love this. Mm. And you were like, 6 out of 10. Now, Ben, you love kaiju movies.
I do.
You love Godzilla.
I do.
You love Gamera.
I do.
You love Guillermo del Toro.
I do.
You love anime.
I do.
You never watched this movie, and now you have. You're like, 6 out of 10. I don't think you actually love things, Ben. I think you like to be seen to love things.
Okay, hear me out, right? Because this is a weird point. Everyone that I've spoken to about Pacific Rim has been sort of like, what the fuck? How have you not seen Pacific Rim? It's your film. Mm. And I'm like,
yes.
Okay. So because you've just said that, there is a little voice in the back of my head that's going, fuck you, don't tell me what to do. But also...
Yeah, we covered this. Yeah, I do the same.
Yeah, it's odd, right?
That's why I heard Silent Alarm by Block Party in like 2019 and went, oh yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, because I was obsessed with them in uni and you were like, nah, they're shit. We met the drummer in Victoria Coach Station. You were like, nah, I couldn't give a fuck. I'm like, that's the drummer from Block Party, man! You gave no fucks. Anyway, I'm so spicy. This Hawaiian shirt is doing nothing for my temperament today. Where's my pocket beer?
It really isn't.
There it is. Right. So, I love monster movies. I love kaiju movies. I love this.
Apparently.
This I love creature features, right?
Yeah.
This is the other end of the spectrum of kaiju movies.
Right,
so,
okay.
So, it's not humans. Kind of, yeah. This is the sort of autistic that makes sense to me, but doesn't appeal to me. You know what I mean?
Right, okay.
It doesn't tickle my
pickle.
You're
going to have to explain that.
Okay.
How? Why not?
So it's not humans getting dicked over by kaijus. It's not like one scientist working for a company has a moral breakthrough and then learns the kaiju mother tongue on Duolingo, right? It's humans getting fucked up.
Big with that owl bee.
Oh, 1,000%, mate. This is humans getting fucked up.
Right.
Then making a royalty-free version of if a Gundam fucked a Mecha Godzilla and then fights back to destroy the kaiju's entrance portal to Earth, right? Which is great.
Yes.
And that's super fun.
Yeah.
Also, there's some piss-weak love story bullshit for no reason. Because that... Hey! Why is that in there? It makes no sense. It doesn't need to be there.
It's not love so much, but okay.
Fuck off. Okay, sure. And then you've also got some fucking shoehorned in adopted daddy issues for good measure.
Yep.
But I feel like this film is through the lens. It's Godzilla King of the Monsters through the lens of Mechagodzilla.
Yes, exactly. Why do you not like that?
Because it's man-made.
Oh, okay.
It's man-made.
Okay. It's the fucking spirit warrior. I forgot your crystals and your veganism. Nothing natural can hurt
I'm
you.
My veganism is rapidly waning, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm about 70% at the minute.
Don't say that, Ben. 50% of our listenership are only listening because it's a vegan with a sense of humor. You're basically the messiah to them.
Oh, man. Honestly, it's because I'm running lots. I'm gymming lots. I need more protein. The vegan thing. It's there, but I'm rattling around full of fucking
supplements.
There's
no vegan UFC fighters. It's
fine. But dude, shake them and they sound like a fucking rattler with the amount of vitamins in them. You're taking the piss.
I remember when this came out. Mm-hmm. It's like a really odd mix of things. All those references you mentioned that they didn't use.
Yeah.
Like Mechagodzilla, anime, Neon Genesis Evangelion, all that kind of stuff. Like, with only Cloverfield really and Transformers being in the cinemas at the time, MonsterVerse, it kind of felt like this kicked off MonsterVerse. So, like,
kinda.
How the fuck did this come about?
Okay, so I've done a bit of research into this, and essentially, it's Del Toro just being a big fucking kid, right?
Right, okay.
What he said... This is a quote from Del Toro.
Right.
I wanted to recreate the sensation you have in an adventure movie of what it was to be there battling with this thing that's the size of a skyscraper.
Ooh.
A thing that can actually face a tornado and win. When you,
right.
When you get a budget, you can do two things. You can get crazy or lazy. And I chose to be as crazy as I could. We used creativity and passion and madness as a fuel to make this movie.
Yep.
Now, this is just a big fucking kid running around, having the best time of his life, making a movie exactly how it wants to be made, simultaneously paying tribute, but not existing in his favorite genres of media, right? And I have
nothing
but the utmost respect for this guy for doing that. It's the kind of passion project that gets me wet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like sopping at the mouth for this shit. It's literally the one.
Yeah. Look, there's the love is apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like, because I think, I'm going to admit here, I'm not a massive Bayformers, Michael Bay's Transformers franchise nerd.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure the dates line up, like the third one was out.
It's there or thereabouts.
And it feels, this whole film feels like Del Toro's just been sat there going, oh, he's doing it wrong. He's doing it wrong. I did read, so originally this was going to be a James Cameron movie.
Okay.
The guy who wrote it wrote a treatment. He was kind of sat on the beach looking at the sea. It was foggy. And he was like, imagine a robot twatting a crab in there. That would look mint. Wrote the film.
Look, what a life to lead. You know what I mean?
What a life to lead. And James Cameron was going to direct, and Del Toro and Cameron were going to do a movie called Up the Mountains of Madness, which hasn't come out, but it's fine because after that, they were going to do Fantastic Voyage, which also hasn't come out. That's fine because Del Toro was going to do Hellboy 3,
right.
But that didn't come out.
Right, okay.
So. Because this guy can't get a fucking film made.
Fucking hell. We all have performance issues, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, his Hobbit film, oh no, wait, that didn't come out.
Yeah, that didn't come out. There you go.
What I feel like what he does is he goes, I'll make this, but it has to be this. And then the studio goes, yeah, we've not got that money for that rating. And he goes, well, I'm not doing it then.
Yeah, fair fucking play to him.
Right. But I can see him going, well, it was supposed to be James Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. But I reckon I can do a Western action franchise. And so you've got this kind of bizarre nerd who loves Japanese media and genre piece.
Yeah.
Look at his references are, I've got Michael Bay in that corner.
Yeah.
And I'm going to channel my inner James Cameron. And like so much of the dialogue is James Cameron dialogue. It is like... It's light dialogue. We're covering all the Alien movies. I watched Aliens and I'm like, people don't talk like these characters.
No, they don't.
But it's so light that it's like the most efficient dialogue can be. And this is arguably too efficient in the dialogue.
Okay.
It really is.
I have a thought on this, right? So I've been watching a few animes recently because I was trying to watch some big Hulking monster animes. And the way that people talk aren't the way that people talk. I
can't get on with anime. It's stylization to the point of alienation.
Almost.
It's so stylized that I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
See, it does the opposite to me. It sets a boundary for the universe and it's like, this is how...
Yes, autism.
It works though because they all obey the same rules. Like, in every single universe is wildly different rules, and I fucking adore it because you know exactly where you are at all times and you can... It helps with my mentals if I'm able to immediately know who's going to be the villain.
It's like what anime does is it changes
the
rules of reality, and in order to compensate for that, it's formalized and turned into archetypes, the rules of character.
Yes, and it's fucking fantastic.
You always have the same cast of people.
Yeah.
The thing that changes is everything else around them. Whereas in a drama, the world is always the same. And it's the people that hold the interest.
Yeah, right. And I think what Del Toro did in this one is he, like you just said, he was looking at James Cameron and he was looking at Michael Bay and he was like, right, okay.
Mm.
So James Cameron does his dialogue as efficiently as he can. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Bay is operating at peak Michael Bay right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a mid Del Toro movie, but it's going to be more efficient than James Cameron's dialogue. And it's going to be... infinitely better than peak Michael Bay. So what he's done is he's seen Aliens and he's seen Transformers and he's gone, hold my mech suit. Give me a year. Hold my mech suit. And he just knocks this shit out of the park. And it is the most efficient dialogue that exists. Yeah. People aren't people, but they exist in their own universe and they abide by their rules. Everything is to the point. There's no, hi, how are you? Small talk doesn't exist. This is my fucking dream world.
Right. Every sentence that somebody says in this film is exposition that the person they're talking to didn't ask for.
1,000%. Or would, like, a lot of it, the person that they're saying the exposition to is part of the exposition. Like, yeah, they're explaining the situation that they've lived back to them, but it was off screen, so it has to be said out loud. It's fucking incredible. Yeah. I love it to pieces. Yeah. I'm like, because I just imagine being the person being talked at, and I'm like, thank you for reminding me of everything I've just done for the last 14 hours.
it's very incredible. Much like, I'm not going to deal with you because you're too much of an underdog. Fuck you. I always back the underdog, like I did 2 weeks ago when I backed this guy.
Exactly, like- buddy. I fucking love a good underdog story. I don't care how it appears. I don't care what universe it's in. I fucking adore it so fucking much.
Marley and Me, yeah?
Oh, mate, don't. That shit breaks me. I'm in a Hawaiian shirt. I'm in a good mood. Let's not make me cry about a Labrador. All right? Fuck you.
Okay.
Admittedly, Pacific Rim is a little more into the fantasy adventure thing than I can can tolerate. You know what I mean? I love fantasy movies to a degree.
Right.
But when they start taking themselves far too seriously, I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There's a certain level of sincerity that comes across as extra silly.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
If I'm sat around with somebody and it's somebody turning up to a board game cafe,
right,
in full cosplay for their character that only exists in their head, and you're like, oh wow, and then they refuse to break character and you're like, oh.
So, okay, I feel like this is a personal attack because I invited you to the Harry Potter quiz that's happening at the Boardroom Cafe soon.
Right.
We're all going to be going in full cosplay for Harry
Potter. No, you didn't fucking tell me that.
Yeah, I know, because I wanted you to be the only one. I wanted you to be the muggle. You would have been in full cosplay without having to put any effort in. You're welcome. I've just fucking helped you out there, sir.
No, I'm going to turn up and be the best fucking dressed. I'm going to fucking destroy it.
Right.
I'm going to turn up as Voldemort. I'm going to cut my fucking nose off to spite you.
Mate, do it. Fucking do it. If you walk through that door, I will literally, literally love you forever. I love the idea of...
None taken.
...of this catastrophic event bringing a planet together, right? I'm trying to get back on. You know what I mean? I'm back on the episode. Here we go, Pacific Rim. So this Pacific Rim is a little bit more fantasy. Monster movies tend to be sort of like big action with a little bit of subplot of the emotional stuff. And it's more enjoyable for me because it's just essentially fucking monkey smash, right? Sign me up for 2 hours. That's great. I love the idea, though, in this film, that there is an enormous catastrophic event that brings the planet to its knees, right? And the human race has to band together and they elevate a handful of pilots to like rock star levels, status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the population are turned into ration book slaves to build walls, you know what I mean? Like that, I shouldn't have found it as funny as I did. But it was hilarious to think that those were your two options. You either link your consciousness with a person that you can drift with to control a 28-story, multi-billion-pound robot, or you have to sweat your dick off for 12 hours a day to afford ration book stamps.
Yeah, so capitalism. Yeah,
essentially.
The system we currently live under.
Do you think this is where Trump got his idea for the wall? I mean, they're actively building a wall around Hong Kong, like, right? That's just Trump. China.
Guillermo del Toro is Mexican, so he's not our best people, according to Trump.
Ooh. If Trump stole the idea for the wall from a Mexican director.
Oh, that would be so good.
Fuck, I'd vote for him.
That would be so, so good.
The fact the characters are flawed, they're all odd individuals out of their comfort zones. They're dealing with their own shit, but they're doing so in a way that means that they can still move forward to achieve like a communal goal is fucking beautiful. Like it's a wonderful thing to witness. And it's almost like it's therapeutic to watch people sort of never losing sight of the bigger picture, but oh shit, you need to cry it out for a moment, bud. Let's go for it. Hit me up. I'm here for you.
1,000%.
You want to shout at the moon and fucking fight your demons a little. Do you, babe? Let's go for it. It's over the top America in places.
Yeah.
But it's also quite delicate for a big fuck off stompy stompy monster robot movie. Do you know what I mean?
I think it is. I think Del Toro, you quoted him earlier. He was like, you get crazy or you get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
I can really see this has fallen foul of what will forever be known as the Blomkamp trap.
Okay.
Right. And I'm going to define the Blomkamp trap now as I think of it. I think the Blomkamp trap is mistaking world building for filmmaking. There are every single character in this has their own narrative arc.
They do.
Right?
Yes.
But there's 15 fucking characters.
Yes.
So what should be the main character having three or four things happen to him in act one,
yeah,
three or four things happen to him in act two,
yeah,
and then three or four things happen to resolve it.
Yeah.
Every character gets an A, B, and a C of like, angry. This has happened. Now it's resolved. I'm angry. This has happened. Now it's resolved. It feels like what he's done is he's gone in, he's locked his writers in the room, turned the internet off, and they have written a 15-hour miniseries that's fucking excellent.
Yeah, dude, sign me up for it.
Every single pilot has a narrative that's meaningful, and they start with a problem, and by coming together to fight their demons with the other mech pilots, they come to a place of peace, or getting shit mixed in the sea. But nonetheless, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Mako Mori's so well written in this. She's actually got a cinematic test named after her.
She's got a what?
Right, so do you know the Bechdel test?
No.
Oh.
The fuck's the Bechdel? Bechdel?
It's B-E-C-H-D-E-L.
No, I don't.
I've only ever read it.
Okay, so...
right, so it's a film in which two female characters have a scene, they have a conversation with one another, and that conversation is not about or in reference to a male character.
Right, okay.
But like Ant-Man and the Wasp, or Cocaine Bear, or Heart of Stone. But then the holdovers doesn't pass.
Okay.
It's about female representation, right? It's that whole thing of like, for decades, women were only in films, and their business and their narrative arc and their focus was what the blokes were doing. Can I get that bloke? What's that bloke's mission? They didn't have any of their own agency.
Right, okay, I see. Well, you've got a few movies like that.
Yeah, there's a few, but you'd be surprised how many fail. Like, you'd be surprised that, like, 90% of films fail. You're like, oh, no, that's got great female representation, and then you realise that the character's main thing is talking about the bloke. Edge of Tomorrow, right? Emily Blunt, sick.
Fucking incredible movie.
All she talks about is Tom Cruise.
Oh, it's trying to get him out of the loop so that he can save the day.
Yeah. You say he can save the day.
She sacrifices herself in every fucking loop as well.
Right, exactly. Now, this film doesn't pass the Bechdel test. But the only reason is because there's not two female characters. Mako Mori isn't concerned with a bloke.
Nope.
She's got her own narrative.
Yep.
She starts, finishes, and ends this film with her own stakes, her own things that she wants to achieve.
Okay.
She gets them. She wins the day. And so now there's an even smaller list of films.
Shit.
That are, okay, there's the bloke is not necessary. So Dredd.
Dredd, okay.
The 2012 Judge Dredd, Carl Urban.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
Oh, mate, it's fucking sick. Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the
Arrival,
Woods.
Arrival.
Okay.
Mad Max Fury Road. Black Panther. Wonder Woman, obviously.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Okay. These are all female characters that have no vested interest in the guy, right? Their own story, their own thing.
They've
going
got their
on.
Own story, and it's also not like, yay, girl power. It's like...
Sucker Punch is one.
Sucker Punch, yep.
Sucker Punch, she's just trying to avoid getting a lobotomy. That's...
right, there we go.
Essentially that whole film. Sleepaway Camp? Well, I guess maybe not.
Again, I've not seen that one. I've not seen either of these.
Okay, it's Felissa Rose. It's fantastic. You need to watch it. I'm not going to spoil it for
you. Is it fantastic because of Felissa Rose?
Yes.
If Felissa Rose wasn't in it, would it be fantastic?
Yeah. It's a good film.
Oh, okay.
Great film.
Okay, I might actually watch it.
Rogue One?
Rogue One's a great one. Rogue One's a fucking great
Rogue
example
One's good.
Of that.
Terrifier 2?
I haven't seen it, but I'll take your word for it.
Most of the Friday the... Fr- most of the Friday the 13th franchise.
I haven't seen them, but I'll take your word for
it. Yes, I need to rewatch these, man. Right now I have to rewatch them all in like a different vein because I have to be sort
honestly,
of like, are you sexist?
Start rewatching films and going, okay, there's female characters in this, but what are they actually doing? Aliens and Alien are the top examples.
Okay.
Which we're covering.
Yeah, of course. Fucking
as we
Sigourney
speak.
Weaver's banging in it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Whereas in Ghostbusters, less so because it's the love interest with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually have a conversation with another woman at any point about anything that isn't this bloke.
That's so upsetting. I don't like this. This is going to change how I view movies now. I'm going to, for fuck's sake, give it like 6 months and it's going to be welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. We're both Rob McFarlane. Do you know what I mean?
No, because I picked this film. Well, I didn't pick this film because of this, but when right. I was watching it, I was aware that we often speak on this podcast about how you and I watch films differently.
Yeah.
And I tend to use them as physio. I use them as like a practice dojo for emotions.
Sure.
And I see people go through stuff that I'm struggling with and I see how they resolve it. And it's catharsis and my brain is engaged and it's like a little fucking puzzle box.
Yeah.
And you use them as anesthetic. You're like, I'm just going to turn the world off.
Yeah.
And Ben, this film is not physiotherapy puzzle box for me. This is anesthetic. This is...
Yeah, this confused me. When you fucking brought this to the table, I was like, what the fuck?
But the reason for it is because I know that Del Toro can make Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
I know that he can make incredibly intricate, incredibly balanced, The Shape of Water.
Oh, dude,
you know,
yeah.
He can do depth. He can do complexity.
He can do Sally Hawkins wanking in a bathtub. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If the guitarist from Tool or some other incredibly complex band is just chugging an open string going dun 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 dun, I can enjoy that all day because I know that he can do more than that. He's choosing to do something simple.
Right, okay. So
and so with Del Toro, I'm like, this guy's a fucking master of his craft. If it's silly and camp and nonsensical and requiring no thought,
right,
it's because he's very much decided that's what this should be. It's not right, Michael okay. Bay going, this is the best I could do.
Right. Okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. So it's him choosing to do the silly, goofy camp right. shit, but in a way where he's, you know that he sat down and he studied it, he understands it, and right. you're in on the joke, right?
Right.
Whereas when
if
you're watching
Casagrande just does four to the floor bass drum
sure.
for 6 minutes, you're like, that's a creative choice.
Yeah. No.
If David Guetta does it, you go, he just doesn't know how to do drums.
Yeah, he's just, he doesn't know. Yeah, he's programmed drums that one way and thought, yeah, that sounds like a drummer.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. This is what drums do. Yeah, sound. All right, I get you.
Right.
That track's perfect, man. That track's perfect. I did enjoy this film. I really fucking enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it for different reasons than I thought it would. There is one rule to my monster movie
mm-hmm.
enjoyment factor, right? And the rule is organic versus man-made monsters in movies, also yeah. known as fuck robots, show me a plucky dinosaur, right? It's the rule that I live by. It's the one that I love, right? It's an odd take, I'm aware, but fucking monster movies and creature features, I love them. Fucking adore right. them, right?
Yes.
AI
yes.
and robots terrify me. Because Terminator right. 2, you know what I mean? Right, well, the Terminator okay. franchise, essentially, which is only right, two movies yeah. long. Fucking fuck you, fight me.
Yeah, maybe the one with Christian Bale. I've got a soft spot for it, even though it's shit.
Yeah, it is absolute dog shit. But I'm not a big fan of robot because it's terrifying to me.
Right.
I struggle to side with like man-made monsters and shit because
right.
it feels like cheating. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
It feels like...
Yeah.
It's why I've not seen Transformers since I went sober. Right. Right.
Oh, okay.
So,
have you not?
No, I've not watched them since I've been sober because Transformers was my Sunday morning come down hangover right, yeah. movies where I turn my brain off. It actively lowers my IQ enough for me to recover from my come down.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
I get
yeah,
to
yeah,
sort
yeah,
of like
yeah.
enjoy myself a little bit by the third act because I've lost 10 IQ points. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that's great. That's fine. Pacific Rim's kind of leaning that way for me. It leans that way. It's not in that camp. It's just sort of, it's peeking over the fence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's tongue in cheek about it. It knows what it's doing. It's like going, yeah. Am I that? Is it though? And I'm like,
yeah, totally.
I like the edging of whether it's mm-hmm. going to go full Michael Bay or not. That's nice. That's a nice little one. But you love AI and you love robots because you're a fucking nerd. And I love that for you. But right. I find in monster movies, it's always an active allegory for, you know, like insert human condition here, mm-hmm. whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always a big thing. I watched Smile last night with the...
not seen it.
You've not seen Smile?
Of course not.
Fuck's sake, man. All right, well, I won't talk about it then. Right, so that's the end of that one. So it's always these big hulking monsters that are fucking allegories for a human condition or a woe.
Godzilla King
of
the Monsters being an environmental thing where it's like we've woken up
there
the environment
that's
and now
saying.
All the humans are dying because tornadoes. I mean King Ghidorah.
Sure. Like, Godzilla itself being sort of like the fallout from a nuclear bomb. You know what I mean?
Well, we've gone to Skull Island and we're in the jungle and we're all 1960s soldiers and we're fighting an enemy we don't understand in an environment that's hostile to us.
Exactly.
Hashtag Vietnam War.
Exactly.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Like, that shit works, except for also big fuck off monster. It's fantastic. Super fun. You learn something.
Right.
Your IQ goes up, but you fucking do this.
I hear you, but I have a rebuttal.
Hit me with it.
And this is my deep moment with Rob.
Okay.
I am not hurt, but I am curious that you did not recognize that Pacific Rim is a film about something happening in your life.
Yeah.
Something bad.
Mm-hmm.
And you find a buddy
that
also has some stuff that they've gone through
mm-hmm.
that you're mentally compatible with.
Yeah.
And you inorganically build together something that you can use to fight the monsters.
Yeah.
You find a mate you're compatible with and you build it manually by hand.
Yeah.
And then whatever the monster is, the togetherness, the drifting together.
Sure.
You build, I don't know, a kaiju
mm-hmm.
or a podcast
mm-hmm.
and you fight them together.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, at the end of our episode when we do like a Ben's going to give you a little insight for your Monday morning.
Yeah.
It's that. So I've got nothing this week now. Cunt. So
do you know why?
Maybe our drift is a little bit too fucking strong and you need to stay in your own hemisphere, fuckend. All right? Don't be peeking into my fucking side of the fence. Let me be the Michael Bay, you be the fucking ex machina.
Fine.
All right?
Fine,
you know what I mean?
Fine. Well, look.
I did recognize this. And listen, I love the fact that me and you can drift. I love the fact that we've built our own little fucking, you know, our Jaeger, which is the Every Movie Ever podcast.
Pikey Risk.
Right. I don't think we're allowed to say that, but it's fine. You know what I mean?
I can. You can't.
Yeah, there you go. So we've got our other little, you know, our other Jaegers around us that are all doing similar things. They're all fighting similar battles, but ultimately we all have the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking wonderful. The film does that great. It's just the thing that bothers me. It just feels like cheating. Like, the film's great for building a big fuck off robot and thinking this is the defense system. Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you know what else would have been a good defense system about a portal? But that you knew where the portal was.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could have, like, I don't know, instead of spending the entire global budget on 9 robots, just build like 150 guns. Do you know what I mean? Just aim them all at the portal and the second anything comes through, just 150 massive guns.
What you're missing out on is that Del Toro had this idea.
Yes.
He's got hundreds of years of backstory.
Yes, he
head.
Does. This is
he
the thing.
He knows the political system.
Dude, he knows the taxation brackets of this universe that Pacific Rim exists in.
Right, exactly.
Everything's thought out beyond belief.
But he's fallen into the Blomkamp trap. World building is not filmmaking.
Right.
So you're looking at it going, why didn't they build a wall? They probably did. The whole point of the kaiju is that they adapt and they learn, right?
Right.
So the whole point of a Jaeger is it's flexible and it's piloted by a human. So it has that unpredictability. It has that ability to adapt and overcome. Yeah. Whereas a gun, it shoot.
Yeah.
And then literally they'd spent all the money on that. And then the kaiju would have gone, well, no, because now I've got a heat shield.
Now we're gunproof, mate. We're fucking gunproof. Shoot your 150 guns at this, Dick.
Games on the playground. No, I've got a sword that cuts
that. Miss, I killed that man. He should be dead.
That's essentially what we're seeing the interdimensional version of. Do you want to play a game?
I've got a game for you this week, mate, because I had a lot of fun in our alien episode doing a quiz to find out which alien I was.
Oh, this is exciting.
I've got a quiz for you.
I genuinely have no idea what this is.
Yeah, I've got a quiz for you.
What a flutter.
To find out which kaiju are you.
Ooh, right. Okay. Where am I aiming? Mechagodzilla.
All right, it's down to you. If you want to aim for Mechagodzilla, that's fine. I tried this 3 times and I got the same answer every time. I did wildly different answers.
Did you get warrior alien? Are you good at swimming?
No, I got Mothra 3 times back to back, and I...
Oh, you are my Mothra.
Oh, if you get Godzilla in this and I'm your wife, I'm going to be furious, but also I'll hold your pocket. You know what I mean? I'm fine with it. Right, which kaiju are you? Question number one, what do you fight for? The world, what I think is right, or for what I want?
For what I want.
Good answer. A tornado is coming. What do you do? Do you help my family and friends get to safety? Do you get to safety myself, trust in my friends and family to do what they need to do? Or do you help others get to safety?
Family and friends, obviously. Yeah. I help my family and friends. I'm not going to be like, you're fine.
We're going to get the same answer in this. It's so annoying.
Because we're drift compatible.
Yeah, right? It's fucking infuriating. Just, we need to undrift for like a minute. You know what I mean?
I can't, mate. I'm always drifting.
What animal are you most afraid of? Lizards and snakes? Big animals / something that could overpower me, or spiders and insects?
Spiders and insects.
Yeah, dude, I know your answers to this. This is fucking stupid. Right. I can speedrun this and just not tell you, just give you the answer.
No.
Okay, I got you.
The listeners would love that.
It's yeah, right?
The sound of Ben clicking a mouse for 2 minutes.
Honestly, my Hawaiian shirt is loud enough to carry the show. Do you know what I mean? Do you want to be someone people can rely on? No, I will not become a doormat for people to walk on. Yes. Helping others is a sure way to help myself.
Oh, that's a fucking loaded question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hate bad things? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm no one's doormat.
You're no one's doormat?
I've stopped answering honestly now. I'm going.
You're going off
diversion
rails.
Tactics. Sound. Going off. I'm off trail, mate.
Joke's on you. I did that one as well.
Oh, fuck.
When do you get the most...
Drift!
Right? When do you get the most done? Late at night, between other tasks, whenever inspiration hits, or early morning?
Early morning.
Ooh, a slight drift delay.
Oh my God.
Final question. What motivates you, my family and friends? Power, competition, success, knowing what I do is right.
Success.
Yes, I've already got your answer. It's fine. You are.
Because the thing is, wait. The thing with the success thing, right,
mm-hmm.
is like, what are your goals? Not financial success, that doesn't motivate me,
yeah.
but I want the people around me to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've set out goals of things I want to do. I want to succeed at them. My goals are fucking pure.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not, you don't have to justify this to me, buddy.
No,
it's a fucking quiz about kaijus.
Because it's all like, what motivates you? Looking after your loved ones or... Setting fire to babies or achieving your goals. I'm like, well, looking after my loved ones is obviously going to be in my list of goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to just go, I fancy climbing Mount Everest and I don't mind that it sets 9 babies on fire. Like, that's just...
Are they on the mountain though? Because it's cold. I mean, they'll be out.
God,
quick.
You thought about logistics mad quick.
Yeah. Your answer, buddy, you are Rodan.
Yes!
Yes. Which side you pick in a fight depends on your mood and the story. You are willing to be a follower and a leader, but you would never dare pick a fight with those you love and trust. Well, that is a fucking lie. All right, I got Mothra, you got Rodan, so we're both just fucking, we're still drifting.
We're
just,
types,
yeah, we're
fine.
Drifting in yeah. the air, man, you know what I mean?
Very, very nice. What are you rating Pacific Rim, Ben?
Right, oh man, it's hard. It's fun to watch. I don't think mm-hmm. I'm going to rush to watch it again. I'm going to give it a 7 because it's the best Michael Bay film I've ever seen. I think I need to rate it higher than any Michael Bay film that we ever run the risk of doing. So I'm going to do a 7.
That's fair.
It's fun. Then the story's nonsense. I don't understand the love story. The human emotions in it confuse me because I didn't understand the rules of the universe immediately. So I was just sort of like, all the way through. I hadn't seen Inside Out 2 at this point. So, you know, I wasn't fully versed in how to process emotions.
You weren't
emotions.
A grown up. Yeah,
this is what
yeah,
I mean.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Go fair, 7. Fair,
you?
Fair. I am going to go 7.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's fun, but it's just fun. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the daubings of a madman, and I can look there and go, okay, that's pretty funny. That's pretty cool.
Sorry, just quickly.
Yeah.
Daubings?
Yeah, daubings.
The fuck is a daubing?
Carelessly coat or smear with a thick or sticky substance.
Right.
Enjoy that one. Have we got time for Comment Corner?
I feel odd. That's made me odd.
Yeah, good.
All right,
good.
Comment Corner, I am fully down for. Do you have any lined up?
Well, it's brief this week, and then I'm going to tell you about my really good day.
Yes.
You ready for the briefest Comment Corner that we've ever had?
It was
Ross Grant. It was Ross Grant who said that this is the best worst film or the worst best film
ever.
I fucking
said, was it Ross Grant? You could have just said yes, you cockend.
Yeah, all right, but then we've had nothing for Comment Corner.
Yeah,
fair. My good day was so good because, do you remember that guy I worked with who I tricked everyone into thinking it was his birthday and then brought a cake out into the middle of the restaurant floor and then he had to tolerate all the customers singing happy birthday at him and then blow the candle out at the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I leveled up. So my good day started. Okay. My good day started because I got a new lens for the camera that we use for socials.
Fantastic.
I got a car.
Yes. Congratulations.
I got new tattoos on my leg, just updating some tattoos that I have already.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I took some photos of myself at the tattoo parlor.
Right.
And took some photos of myself getting a tattoo done and ordered on the internet a temporary tattoo of this man's name in a love heart.
Amazing.
And I then put it on my leg and I then covered it in cling film. And then I put a load of photos in the group chat going,
oh my God.
Hello, mate. I just thought, it's time to really genuinely appreciate you.
Oh, and no, you didn't.
He spent the entire shift thinking that I had got his name tattooed on my love handle of my hip.
That is fucking outrageous, buddy. Bud, I'm getting fucking palpitations for the guy. Like,
and the thing is I did it all in the work chat.
Yeah,
and he just went no in the chat. He came in, he works the coffee machine, so he can't move. He has to be making coffees. We're busy.
Right. I thought you said he works as a coffee machine, so he can't move. And in my head, I was like, Robert, you just got a fucking coffee machine tattooed. You got like Nescafe tattooed on the side of your hip.
Yeah. So I go up to him and he's like, it's not real. I know it's not real.
Yeah.
And I go, look, this is genius. I lead with an apology. I go, mate, I know it's too far. Like, I thought it would be funny, but the second they were done and I looked at it, I realized I fucked up. This is too much. Like, because I'm going to be 90 and that's going to be on there. It's just not funny anymore.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's not real. So then I just dropped my little chef's trousers a little bit to show my hip.
Right.
And there it was with the cling film over it and
fucking
the tape.
Fucking hell, man.
And his face went deadly pale. And then I just walked off because I knew he couldn't. I was like, the best thing I can do now is just leave him in this moment. Left him in it for about 2 hours. And then he comes into the kitchen and he goes, right. And I'm fully expecting to get punched. So that's what I would have deserved. And he goes, right, I've had to think about it. And here's what I'm going to do. If England win the Euros, I'm going to get a matching one with your name.
Wow. So he's never getting a tattoo then, right? Cause fuck me, man. Have you been watching the Euros?
I haven't. It's sport. But I hope they do, because then he'll go, oh, look, I got a matching one. So we've got matching tattoos. And I could look at him and go, what tattoo?
Mate, that is absolutely fucking diabolical.
I will put a picture of the fake tattoo on Discord for our little Discord community of chat room listeners. If you're not there, get there. We have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have TikTok, we've got all the social medias, but all the juicy stuff happens in our Discord.
Yeah.
But hey, get in touch with us anywhere.
Fucking do it. Reach out to us right now. Most importantly, though, thank you so fucking much for hanging out with us this week. It's been absolutely incredible. We love and appreciate each and every one of you.
We really do.
From the bottom of our fucking hearts.
And to show that appreciation, Ben is now going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings of this week's film into a little Monday motivation pep talk, because you spent an hour of your week with us, and at the start of the week, that means a lot.
They've already heard it.
Meanwhile, I'm just going to...
You said it earlier. Just.
Well, you better come up with another one real quick on the spot. I'm just going to tell you to consume.
Find yourself a fucking drift buddy, man. You know what I mean? When the kaijus are there, your big bads are leaning over you and you're like, fuck, man, I need to do something. Find a drift buddy. Build yourself something big to fight them back. And fuck me, it's worth it, man. You know what I mean? Just imagine it this way. Yeah, you might be sad right now, but give it 3 years. You could be sitting on a Sunday morning in a loud yellow Hawaiian shirt with pocket beers coming out of your fucking eyeballs, chatting shit about Pacific Rim. Imagine that. Imagine that. Fuck yes, buddy.